The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have two gentlemen who were on the air a year ago and survived the interview somehow. Maybe a little psychological counseling. They survived the interview, and now we're going to do a recap and find out what happened that past year and find out about their products and their company and how they've helped my listeners maybe achieve some of the goals of their agencies. In the studio this morning, we have Dave Gwynn. He's Vice President Federal, and Chris Howard, Vice President Federal at Nutanix. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning, John.
Good morning, John.
Very well, thanks. How are you?
Good, good, good. You know, before the show, I was teasing both of them. I said, you know, a year ago, you guys were like little puppies. Now you're the big dog. Maybe not the big dog, but you're a medium-sized dog, aren't you? Let's talk more about your background and your company and how you can help our folks with data center consolidation. First of all, Dave, tell us about your background, how you wound up with Nutanix, please.
Sure. So prior to joining Nutanix, which was August of 2012, I had been at VMware for just under 5 years and kind of grew up at VMware in the virtualization era and the growth of virtualization and the improvements that virtualization brought to the data center. And when I saw Nutanix a few years ago, I thought this was kind of the next step in doing further improvement in the data center.
Yeah. So, you know, Aileen Black and a lot of those folks that I know as well. And your background, please, Chris?
So very similar to Dave Gwynn, I've been at Nutanix now since October of 2012, and prior to that, I was at VMware for approximately 6.5 years. Dave and I have worked together for about 10 years now and had similar thoughts. You know, at VMware, learned a lot about virtualization and took the opportunity at Nutanix because I understood and saw the benefits that it was going to provide customers from an infrastructure perspective.
Great. And for the radio folks out there, it's Nutanix.com, and you can put a /federal on there for more information. So sometimes in radio, it's hard to pronounce things. So it's Nutanix, Nutanix. So 8 years ago when I started doing this, we brought in the folks from VMware. I was like, whoa, virtualization. Wow, how does that work? Wow, that doesn't really work. And now what's happened is over the years, it's kind of split and gone in different directions, and people are applying virtualization in many different ways. And I think that's – Nutanix has grown like crazy in the last few years, and you guys' skill set is based on virtualization. So give us in a nutshell, what's happened to this company in the last few years, Dave?
It has been a great few years. As you said, we've grown from being kind of a small company that was a new entry and kind of a brand new market, really. And now we're, I don't know if I want to say big dogs, but we are in a recognized market that's been growing rapidly, and other people are starting to join it, and analysts are starting to evaluate it. And, you know, if you Google it, it's out there. And so we've gone from sort of evangelizing to something where, you know, folks are coming to us and needing to check into this because they realize it's kind of a direction things are going.
And on the radio, you get to use the phrase that pays. So the phrase that pays here is the phrase converged infrastructure. Is that right?
The phrase that pays is hyper-converged infrastructure.
Hyper-converged infrastructure.
But that brings up a great point. So converged was sort of phase one of what was recognized as a challenge in the data center. So if you looked at virtualization, you know, like you said, 8 years ago, and you know, when Chris and I were at VMware, virtualization itself as the software brought great things to the table. The challenge was when VMware came up with their features that let them run in enterprise data centers, those features had to run on whatever the hardware was of the day. And so these three-tiered architectures were what was sitting there in the data centers. We make an analogy a lot about Apollo 13, right? Hey, figure out how to make it work with what we have in the capsule. And that's what worked. As people started to deploy virtualization, they realized that the complexity in that infrastructure was what was providing the challenges. And so converged came along. Converged, the concept was, hey, take hosts and switches and SANs and converge them into a single rack and let some company piece them together for you, and we'll support it and make it a little bit easier. That was converge. It was using the same old stuff, but providing it in a nice, neat package. What hyperconverge does is take that a step further by saying, forget all those separate components and piecing them together. Use software to make commodity hardware that's simple and easy to manage present itself to the virtualization layer as though it's a three-tier architecture, even though it's not.
So, Chris, what you have here is you have compute, network, and storage all optimized and customized in one appliance. I mean, it's almost like a it's like an iPod or an iPhone. It's like, geez, it's all customized to work perfectly.
Correct. Yeah, and that's kind of, if you've ever seen our CEO, he brings up that iPhone analogy quite often. You know, he'll have a camera, a calculator, a video cam, and 10 or 20 different things that are sitting on a table. And he'll pull out his iPhone, and it's basically the same premise, is how do you consolidate all of these different capabilities into a single device that is purpose-built for virtualization and also is plug-and-play. Make it as easy as possible, as little as possible from a footprint perspective, but more so just eliminate all the complexity of having to manage 4 or 5 or 10 different aspects of your infrastructure.
But Chris makes a great point. And defining converged versus hyperconverged, converged would have been taking that video camera, taking your GPS, taking your phone, taking your email, and putting them all into a rack for you. But you would still have all those things as separate, but having somebody sort of build it for you and ship it for you. Hyperconverged says, throw all that out. Let the software that runs on top of this iPhone give you those capabilities. The phone itself doesn't change.
And if you think about the components of the appliance, I mean, 5 or 6 years ago, I couldn't have dreamed of an appliance that had high-density compute cores, flash storage, and software-based networking all in a little box that you can carry around, plug in, and come back in 3 weeks. This is almost like plug it in, and later on this afternoon, we'll start cranking out some data. It's really fast, isn't it?
It is, and that's you know, that's one of the beauties of it, is that this we've reached the point now where a typical installation for us takes about 45 minutes.
So from the... Let's just say that again, because I'm an old guy, and I can remember 45 days, and that was optimistic. So 45 now, minutes.
45 minutes, and you think about the complexity of stuff, of gear arriving. When you buy from multiple vendors, it can even arrive on different days, but assuming you've even got that stuff arriving on the same day, you've got to take stuff out of different boxes and learn how to make it all sing together. That's been one of the challenges. And 3 years ago, when we looked at Nutanix, among many other things, that was what we liked about it, is we said, hey, you can pull this thing out of the box, it ships from one vendor, it arrives, you rack it, IP address it, turn it on, green light status, and literally within 45 minutes, you're deploying virtual machines on top of it.
So, well, the company's been around since 2009, 700 employees, and it's gotten to the point where there are Gartner analysts that are looking at this and talking about it. The whole category of hyper-converged infrastructure is getting very popular in the commercial world and the federal world. Is that right, Dave?
That is right. About a month and a half, 2 months ago, I think it was in December, we had IDC actually came out with their MarketScape, and they literally did an assessment of the hyperconverged systems market. That was a big step because, even when Gartner comes out with reviews that include Nutanix, you never know what the name of the market is going to be. So to see it defined as hyperconverged market was big, and Nutanix is shown on their charts to be the upper rightmost leader, and we have 52% of the market. That's worldwide. In federal, we have about 80 to 90% of that market.
Wow, that's amazing. And if you do some research on this, you find out some people are projecting that in 2014, it was a $4 to $6 billion market. I mean, it's a lot of players out there. For you guys to come in and really take over, it must be easy to use. I mean, this is all I'm thinking, because I can remember you get box A and box B and box C, and then 3 days later, and they don't work together. And then all of a sudden, your project is delayed, and the software developer is yelling and screaming. You know, this is something that prevents the software developers from yelling. I mean, that's actually market. Prevents people from picking up the phone and yelling, because it's not delayed.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the most compelling things about our technology is what they call, time to market. From the time you decide to deploy whatever the use case is, how long does it actually take for you to implement the infrastructure, build out the software, and have your developers or your users of any sort accessing that data? And as Dave referenced earlier, from an infrastructure perspective, what used to take weeks or months even because of the delays and different products shipping and arriving and the services that's required to implement it, if we can come in and stand up an environment in less than an hour and boot into the virtualization layer, whatever hypervisor you're using, it's extremely compelling because use cases, if a general says, hey, I want VDI, he doesn't mean I want VDI 9 months from now. He wants it immediately.
And one add to that is the scaling part too, because when it comes time to scale that, how do you scale it? Add another Nutanix block, one click, literally a one click add, and it'll join the cluster. So when it comes time to scale out, you can do that in conjunction with your
If you go to the homepage at Nutanix.com, you see four words, any application, any scale. We'll have to take a break, come back, talk more about that any there, and learn more about the products with a 100% doubling of federal customers here in the last year. That's really incredible. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Dave Gwynn, Vice President Federal, and Chris Howard, Vice President Federal at Nutanix. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Dave Gwynn, Vice President Federal, and Chris Howard, Vice President Federal at Nutanix, N-U-T-A-N-I-X. That's what you Google. And go to their website. There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, you go to federalnewsradio.com and you type in Nutanix, you get five or six, eight white papers. One white paper, I wrote it down, is called The Definitive Guide to Hyperconverged Systems. Wow, it sounds kind of interesting there. We got new technology here. It's growing real fast, being adopted in the commercial world, the federal world. It's really popular. It's spreading like wildfire. So tell me, Dave, what kind of implications does this have with security? Does this bog down security? Does this make security slower or faster? Or what? Because every show I do, I got to ask a security question.
Sure, yeah. Well, everybody in federal has that common interest. But, now even more so in commercial, you see Sony and other commercial entities that get hacked, and it causes major political implications as well. But yeah, I mean, you can have the greatest product in the world and you can bring it to federal, and if you don't have the right security accreditations, they're not going to be able to buy it, no matter how much they could use it. So with Nutanix, it's a significant reason for our growth within the federal market over the last couple of years has been that we've really embraced DoD information assurance from the get-go. One of our first customers was a DoD entity out of Fort Huachuca that really put what was then a small company through the ringer in terms of saying, hey, if you want us to use this product, we're going to need these things. And so a bunch of guys from Silicon Valley that might not have otherwise understood it embraced it early on. And so when Chris and I came over here, we continued to beat that drum. And now we've got the most cutting edge security you can build into a product. And our product ships from the factory, completely locked down, ready to be scanned by the DoD Retina and ACAS scans with zero Cat 1 vulnerabilities, zero need for POAMs. So we've always been all about listening closely to the needs of the DoD and making sure we comply.
So Chris, if you go to InfoWorld, you find out that the Nutanix NX3000 got the award for 2014 for Technology of the Year. I mean, you're turning some heads. I mean, people are looking at you and poking you and buying and testing it out. So Chris, many of my listeners are thinking, saying, well, give me an example. Tell me an agency that's used your stuff. So can you suggest one, Chris?
Yeah, sure. So I think one of the largest ones here in this particular area is a organization called Army ITA, based out of the Pentagon, and they're pretty much a service provider for a lot of the tenants in the Pentagon, because the Pentagon has Air Force, Joint Staff, Headquarters, Department of the Army. I mean, there's probably 15 or 20 different groups that would go to ITA for delivering certain services. One in particular that started about a year and a half, 2 years ago, was they wanted to implement virtual desktops across the Pentagon. So Army ITA reached out and worked with Nutanix to build a pilot solution for users both on the Nipper network and the Sipper network. And from there, it has grown into a pretty large production environment. The first tenant was Joint Staff down at the Pentagon, and they have, you know, thousands of users on both networks. And now they're starting to deploy for Headquarters Department of the Army. And at this point, they're targeting by the end of 2016 to have roughly 18,000 users supported in the Pentagon for virtual desktops, all on Nutanix infrastructure. So it's been a great use case for us, and they've been a great promoter of our technology within the region here for DoD.
And, you know, we mentioned security earlier, but when I think of VDI, I think of security. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you can patch things quickly. I mean, that's the power of VDI from my perspective, is that you don't have to have a technician going from door to door with a thumb drive or a manual or something. VDI gives you the power to deploy security quicker than before. And you wouldn't think that an appliance would improve security, but it really does, doesn't it, Dave?
It does, and VDI in and of itself improves security because, like you said, it simplifies patching. It allows people to keep, you know, thousands of desktops up to date and locked down that otherwise would have had to been done, you know, one by one, or as these remote endpoint devices are out in the field, it's a little challenging to patch. But, you know, another interesting point is that we're not just for VDI, right? We're a virtualization appliance. And so if you think about what runs on top of hypervisors these days, whether the hypervisor is VMware's or Microsoft's or if it's KVM, these are virtual machines. Whether a virtual machine happens to be a virtualized desktop or a virtualized server doesn't matter. And so we're seeing a lot more adoption in terms of people using us to run Microsoft Exchange or Oracle or SAP or, you know, large enterprise applications that are not VDI. But nonetheless, security matters in the data center. Everything has to be locked down. Everything has to be, you know, in full compliance with DoD IA requirements. And we're seeing, you know, the DoD is evolving in the direction of DIA CAP is going away. What's called DIA RMF, which is the risk management framework, is taking over, and that's intended to allow for more real time monitoring of the lockdown status of these things. And so we're fully compliant with that stuff, and in fact, surfing ahead of most technologies in terms of real time lockdown.
You know, Dave, when I was at the Nutanix website, I reviewed this word called extensible, and it means many things to many people. So tell me how your product is extensible. Maybe you can help with our listeners and define that.
Well, I guess you would say extensibility. My first thought would be that it comes to how we scale. And I wrote an article not too long ago about the Lego block approach to data centers. And, you know, if you think about it, if somebody walked along and said, hey, we need to build a massive wall over there, you could certainly try to just haul in a gigantic wall and drop it in there with a crane, or you could build it one block at a time. And building it one block at a time allows you to kind of evolve the thing as you see fit and as you need. So one thing about Nutanix and the way we scale, or in terms of our extensibility, is we want to parallel the pace at which an initiative is going to grow. So whether you're rolling out VDI or Oracle or SAP or Exchange, you usually don't just drop in, you know, 10,000 users tomorrow. You may go 500 users at a time over 20 increments that'll eventually get you there. That's the way we scale. Drop in exactly what you need in terms of how many appliances will do the job, but then add additional appliances as you're scaling out. And, you know, choose which appliance applies in terms of the storage heavy version, the compute heavy version, the RAM heavy version, the graphics heavy version, whatever, depending on what your next phase is.
So, Chris, there is a, believe it or not, a Nutanix federal user group. Isn't that something? I mean, who would have thought of that four or five years ago?
I never would have thought of that 4 or 5 years ago.
It's incredible. So if you take a look at your product and you look at data center consolidation, well, yeah, I mean, that's a great fit. I mean, it's almost, you know, a hand-in-glove fit. So how can it help with cloud migration? I mean, we've had people in the studio pounding and screaming, got to move to the cloud, got to move to the cloud. We've had Vivek Kundra in here years ago talking about it, and everyone knows what he said. And so how can this possibly help with cloud migration, Chris?
Well, first off, we see cloud migration, or just the cloud evolution, as a multi-step process, right? Because people aren't as comfortable as maybe they should be or want to be to move their entire environment out to the public cloud. So what we try to give them at Nutanix is the characteristics of the public cloud in their own environment in a private cloud. And then from there, we offer capabilities where we have, you know, cloud connect capabilities to AWS and soon to be Azure, where they can start using the public cloud as a backup target. And, you know, eventually we'll give them other capabilities over time, but we see it more as an evolution. So we can give that to them today in their own facility by bringing those characteristics of the public cloud in to their private cloud. But we also give them the ability to take steps towards moving production workloads into the cloud. So, I mean, it's eventually going to get there. It's not there today from a federal perspective. You know, you're seeing some adoption, but I think over the next 2 or 3 years, hopefully we're going to be the number one enabler for them to move to the public cloud.
I was thinking about the way I taught my kids to drive. We drove around the neighborhood in little circles. We drove around and drove around. And after I was a little comfortable, then we went on the open road, maybe for, you know, 35 miles. And so this is almost like a transition, a tool that can be used for transition to the cloud. If I'm not saying, you know, the whole world depends on going to the cloud or not, but I think I'd be mighty happy if I played in a little sandbox before I went out in the cloud with all of the vagaries involved in that. So it's a nice little test drive, huh?
That's right. It's not a binary move. Nobody's, just like I was saying about the Lego block scaling, you know, you're not going to just wake up tomorrow and say, okay, we're moving all our stuff to the cloud. You may wake up tomorrow and say, we need to move to the cloud over the next 24 months, and I need to dip my toe to figure out, do I have the data security and am I comfortable that I can get to it when I need it? And so this is a good way to phase it in. And in the meantime, what are you really going to the cloud for? Well, you want to eliminate the complexity in your data center. You want to eliminate the amount of rack space you're using. You want to eliminate power and cooling consumption. You want to go to a utility model. Nutanix offers all of that, but it allows you to try that in your private data center while you're transitioning slowly. And as Chris said, we can connect to the public cloud so that you can do both and transition gradually.
And from the perspective of an IT professional or an application developer or programmer, it's based on HTML5 with web browsers. So you can walk around with a smartphone and see what's going on and plug in and plug out. So it gives a lot of flexibility for controlling that much power. It's really kind of incredible. Well, let's take a break. We come back, we'll talk more about appliances and infrastructure and what this all means and how it could help many of my listeners achieve some of their goals, which may be going to the cloud. But the goal is going to definitely be security, and the word speed and quickness is going to apply somewhere in as well. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Dave Gwynn, Vice President Federal, and Chris Howard, Vice President Federal at Nutanix. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Dave Gwynn, Vice President Federal, and Chris Howard, Vice President Federal at Nutanix, N-U-T-A-N-I-X. Get all kinds of information at their website. Many of my listeners read blogs. They ask me about blogs, so they try to keep up with what's going on. So tell me, Chris, if someone's listening to this in the middle of a football season a year from now or 6 months from now, are there blogs that they can get more information about Nutanix, or where do you suggest they go?
Yeah, absolutely, John. We're pretty active on social media, so there's a couple right off the bat that I would recommend. One is our Nutanix Federal Twitter. And also our Nutanix Federal LinkedIn page. So if you want more relevant federal information, I would visit either one of those. But from a product perspective, if you're interested in learning more about the details of the Nutanix solution, I would say there's a blog or site that's called the Nutanix Bible, which has...
That's pretty easy to remember.
Yep, the Nutanix Bible. You won't forget that one. Yep, and it has a great deal of information, and it's very up-to-date. And then the second one is myvirtualcloud.net. Both are excellent, not only around Nutanix product information, but also what's happening in the landscape of technology itself. So they very relevant information from a day-to-day.
Because there are listeners that are listening to this interview, they're running it down, they're going, I'm not going to call up that Chris guy, but I may want to do some information, maybe some research first. And what we're finding is many C-level executives are doing their research on the internet before they ever contact you. And so all of a sudden you walk into their office and they go, oh, yeah, Dave, I read 5 articles about, I know about your success with the Army, and I understand about the commercial, but my problem is different from everyone else's. And mm-hmm. every single CIO is going, my completely different from everyone else's. That's kind of fascinating.
Right.
I cook on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays at my house. Sometimes I put together frittatas. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a different related topic, something called Fitara, F-I-T-A-R-A. So what is Fitara, and what's it got to do with your appliance?
Fitara is it's not a dessert. It's actually a new law. So Fitara is the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, mm-hmm. and it was kicked around for a couple of years in Congress, and it has now passed both sides of Congress. But the... long and short of it is that it's really just the implementation as law of what had been intended with the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative, FDCCI. And, it's been a little bit controversial. So whichever side you fall on with regards to Fitara and liking it or not liking it, what it's doing is it's empowering CIOs and it's creating accountability with CIOs to not only comply with the data center consolidation initiatives, but also to report on that compliance to show that progress has been made. And it's been a struggle. You know, there's been reports that folks with the best of intentions have been shutting down data centers and consolidating data centers, but still haven't seen the benefit of having done so. So that's kind of the intent of the law, is to say, okay, let's try to really lock this in, make it a law, empower people to get things done, and then report back on it so that we can see that we're actually making progress. What we've done, or kind of what the advantages of Nutanix in this regard is, you know, we've already touched on the benefits of Nutanix in terms of data center fitness, right? And getting rid of a lot of clunky old stuff, eliminating multiple tiers, and kind of bringing in that iPhone to replace a whole bunch of former devices. The other really cool thing about Nutanix in this regard is that we've got a GUI called Prism. That's the central management console for everything Nutanix related, not just what's running on our devices in terms of our software, but also the virtual machines that are running on top of it, the hypervisor performance, how many IOPS are running through, how much storage is being used. So the whole aggregate of your virtual environment is summarized inside of a multi-pane HTML GUI. And that GUI has the ability to report on the very things that Fitara is asking for. So these folks that are going to be empowered and held accountable are going to need a way to not only improve their data center fitness, but also to report on that data center fitness. And that's what this Prism GUI really does a great job of.
You know, I was listening to it, I was thinking, you know, years ago, my colleagues would work around with beepers and something would happen in the data center, they'd have to call in. Then they got smartphones and someone would sell them an Excel file. But no one really liked those. But this idea of an HTML little system where you can figure out what's going on, you can tap in just about any time and see what's going on with the system. Does that make life easy for my listeners, Chris, you think? I hope so.
Oh, absolutely. The fact that it is HTML5, whereas a lot of the other types of enterprise management systems or GUIs for other technologies are built in Flash that require a lot of patching and have security vulnerabilities, the HTML5 does make it more accessible. So whether that's from, you know, sitting at your desk or through your iPad or whatever mobile device you're using, mobile phone. So, yeah, you can access our HTML5 GUI from pretty much anywhere at any time, assuming you have, you know, the ability to access it through your security standards. But it gives you a lot of benefits outside of mobility. It's pretty much, you know, the main thing that we present with this GUI is all of the health analytics, the risk measures of the environment. So getting back to what Dave was saying, more and more over time, you're going to see Nutanix bring more and more of these analytics to the administrators, which is going to have a huge benefit for trend analysis, identifying problems, or just keeping tabs on is their environment healthy. So those are some of the main things.
So Dave, according to Federal Computer Week, your company is one of the 17 hot companies to watch. That's kind of fascinating. And maybe the reporting module might be interesting. You both have experience with VMware, but I guess you're not limited necessarily to VMware because it looks like you're going to expand into other types of hypervisors. Is that right?
That's right. And, you know, VMware has been the king of server virtualization for a long time. But, you know, 5 years ago, well, even more, 7 years ago, Microsoft introduced Hyper-V and, you know, open source has been growing in terms of adoption and people's willingness to use open source products in enterprise deployments. KVM is an open source hypervisor. We've said from the beginning that we do not want to be associated with any sort of vendor lock-in in terms of what people choose to use. And so we very consciously decided to support multiple hypervisors and multiple products running on top of Nutanix. And more power to whomever wants to use whichever of those products. We're happy to talk to any of them. But people do consider, you know, in terms of data center consolidation and budget savings, people are looking at maintenance costs, people are looking at licensing costs. And so there are factors that drive people in different directions in that vein.
The phrase was, for many years, was platform agnostic, but you're switching it around. What you're saying is that you're hypervisor agnostic, yep. Or bring whatever you have, we'll take and use it. And it can be incorporated in the appliance that ships as well. That's fascinating.
And one of the nice sort of fringe benefits of that is that because we went that route early on, we didn't have the ability or the desire to lean on the management console that typically ships with any one of those products, right? If we wed ourselves to a particular management method, then we were thereby wed to the underlying hypervisor that it managed. And so instead, we built this Prism console to say, hey, we need this to do everything, the superset of what all those management consoles does. And that's why we have such a robust HTML5 GUI, is because it manages any of the above in terms of the hypervisor. And it's actually bringing graphical interface to things, for instance, in the open source side that previously only had a command line interface.
Oh, yeah, that's not popular with youngsters under 30. So, Chris, there are some agencies that want to be able to scale. We know that. I imagine FEMA or, you know, disaster recovery has to scale. There are other agencies that really they can't afford to fail. I mean, think of NASA, think of a trip to the moon, Mars, or they can't afford to fail. So what my customers, what my listeners can do is they can almost configure a system to adapt to being able to scale or have different clusters where there's no single point of failure. Is that one of the advantages?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our ability to scale versus traditional three-tiered architectures is, I would say, one of the top two or three reasons why customers use us. You know, traditionally in the last 5 years, when you wanted to start up a virtualization initiative, more times than not, you were forced to buy up front all of the gear or infrastructure that you needed for where you think you will be in 3 years, because the products didn't scale from very small to very large without either rip and replace or just silos. We give the customer the ability to start small, figure out how much of a workload they can put on one of our 2U appliances. And from there, it gives them predictability in how they need to grow over the next 5 years. And we give them the pay as you need to grow type of mentality. And that way, you know, if you buy stuff over time as you deploy it, you're seeing instant ROI versus saying, oh, over the next 3 years, I'm going to grow into this, you know, 10 racks of gear. And by year three, maybe if you start to grow into it, you'll see ROI, whereas we give it to you from day one.
Let's take a break. We come back. I think I'm going to put myself in the place of the new chief data scientist at the White House and ask what he would think about hyper-converged platforms and hyper-converged appliances. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Dave Gwynn, Vice President Federal, and Chris Howard, Vice President Federal at Nutanix. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Dave Gwynn, Vice President Federal, and Chris Howard, Vice President Federal at Nutanix, N-U-T-A-N-I-X, a company that's been around since 2009. It was kind of sitting there, sprouting, and boom, now all of a sudden it's a tree. It's grown very quickly in the last couple of years. Many, many federal agencies are taking advantage of Nutanix. I was going to throw in the word plug and play, but that's been overused so many times. But that's what it's an appliance. It's kind of plug and play. It is like plugging in a refrigerator because you can plug in the appliance and all of a sudden achieve all kinds of tasks, and including conformity to some tough security standards. Some of my listeners read blogs. Some of my listeners are on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray. So tell me, what's your Twitter handle if you want to follow you on social media? At Nutanix Federal, is that the one we should look at?
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. At Nutanix, N-U-T-A-N-I-X, at Nutanix Federal. Find out new things. If you guys have any events coming up, I'm sure you can tweet about it, and so my listeners will know what's going on. Earlier, I mentioned a chief data scientist at the White House just hired a guy named Patil, P-A-T-I-L. Maybe I'll try to get him in the studio, see what he has to say. What do you think he'd say about this product?
Well, I mean, if I'm the chief data scientist, what I'm recognizing is that data has started to grow exponentially, and we're getting data from more and more places, and everything from traffic cameras to old data that we've had for years and years to unmanned aerial vehicles, and we're getting data from everywhere,
it's a
right?
Good tool and to manage the data.
So as data grows, and as more people need to consume it, what do you have? You have unpredictability in terms of how you're going to need to scale. And if we think that we're seeing a lot of data now, what are we going to see a few years from now? So trying to gamble on what you need in a given data center in order to host that data and analyze that data is extremely challenging. And it's the same challenge, by the way, that Google and Amazon and Facebook face every day, is they can't build their data centers for where they think they're going to be in a few years. They have to build in real time, reactively. So I think that's
Wayne Gretzky quote. You know, you have to skate to where the hockey puck will be. So DJ Patil, P-A-T-I-L, he has a PhD in mathematics. Pretty smart guy. I'm sure he's a card-carrying nerd. And I've come up with a 10-question certified test that is scientific that'll find out which one of you two fellows are card-carrying nerds. So, Chris, I'm going to grill you first, so you better have some good answers for me, buddy. Chris, how many old-school computers do you have floating around your house if we went back and looked around?
Today, I have zero computers. I have a number of laptops that are floating around.
How many cell phones have you bought in the last year?
Two.
Two, that's good. And do you have a Twitter feed?
I do.
Okay. Do you have a personal blog?
I don't.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone 5S.
Mm-hmm. And how many apps? Well, not how many apps. What's the most popular app you have on there?
Probably Waze.
Is that for traffic? Is
Yeah.
W-A-Y-Z?
Yep.
Okay. And if we broke into your house, how many tablet devices will we find floating around there?
Five or six.
That's a good answer. And what social networking sites are you active in?
I'm on Twitter quite a bit. Okay. We have our own internal kind of social media within our company that I also visit a lot. Outside of that, if I'm online, it's mostly either technology or sports related. No particular site, but just a multitude of different sites.
Last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
Paper.
Oh, so close to being a nerd. Now we'll have to hear from the real card-carrying nerd with his white socks and his pocket protector and bow tie here. So, Dave, break into your house. How many old-school desktop computers do we see floating around?
You will see four.
Four. I don't know about desktops,
And they're crusty.
And how many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
One.
one. Now, see, if you're compulsive, you every 3 weeks you have a new one or something.
Yeah, I'm amazed I haven't dropped it. Yeah. I don't have a case on it.
And what kind of, do you have a Twitter feed, personal?
I do, at DH Gwynn.
And do you have a personal blog?
I do not.
Okay. What kind of smartphone do you have?
iPhone 5S.
And what is the most popular app on that phone in the last 30 days?
Well, I would have said Waze, but Chris has already said that. So I'm going to go with, this is out there, but I use Redfin a lot when I'm driving around. I'm always curious about real estate prices, so I'm on Redfin a lot.
Well, that's a good one. I never thought of that app. That's a fun one. If we break into your house, how many tablet devices do we see floating around your house?
Four.
Four. That's a good number. And when was the last time you posted on social media?
Over the weekend.
Okay, not too bad. And finally, last book you read, was it electronic or was it paper?
It was paper.
Two
I did not go
here.
Electronic on the books.
You know, what's interesting is the recent reports are saying that people should take notes on paper because they can draw and do graphical things and have it imprint on their memory a little bit better. So that's interesting. Well, I'll have to run this through my computer in the basement and print out something on my green bar. And then I'll go to the post office and mail it to you, kind of old school way. Find out who is the card carrying nerd here.
I think I won.
I think I won. Well, we don't know about that. Yeah. We don't want to brush yourself off.
No question. Yeah,
so tell me, Chris. You know, in the last 3 or 4 years, your company's grown like crazy, and the federal government's going crazy. Where do you see it head in the next 3 or 4 years? What kind of corporate goals does Nutanix have, and what's this mean to my listeners, Chris? Where's it head in the next 4 or 5 years?
So I think more and more is going to be said about this whole hyper-converged or web-scale market. I think that the opportunity for companies like Nutanix, and there's a number of other companies that are, you know, trying to get into the space, it's going to be significant. There's a trend that's happening not only in the federal government but across the commercial world where, you know, people are looking for efficiencies. You know, they're trying to get out of doing things the same as usual. They have more and more resources that they need to provide, but they have less people to do it. They have smaller data centers or consolidating to fewer data centers. So I only see us continuing to take over more and more of the infrastructure space out there, especially in the federal community, because budgets are being cut. So efficiencies need to be, you know, people have to find more and more ways to be efficient in their data centers. So for us, it's a great thing.
So, Dave, you know, a year ago I teased and said you were a puppy. Now you're a big dog, and you guys are saying, oh, no, we're not big dogs. But there's a federal user group for your appliance. I mean, that there's something to be said for that. I mean, more and more people that I meet informally are talking about you. I mean, people say Nutanix is hot. Maybe not because your product runs hot, because it's very popular. So where's Nutanix headed in the next 4 or 5 years, and especially with my listeners, my govies?
Where we're headed? Well, first I would say, you know, the key for us, and Chris and I both believe in this, is growth with humility. And while it's great to say that we're doing well, I don't think it's because of anything that we're doing especially amazingly well. I think it's a confluence of events. And it's, you know, the need for data center consolidation and improving fitness in data centers and eliminating complexity and costs. And all those things are driving people to look at Nutanix and what it can deliver. But obviously, that's going to continue. I don't think the problems are going to go away and the goals are not going to go away. We're going to have constrained budgets and we need to be more efficient in terms of power and cooling and all that stuff. One thing I'll say, though, is that, you know, what we saw over the last 10 years is that, you know, if you look back before virtualization hit, everything was about the physical device. You know, how many cores do I have in my CPUs and RAM and disks and what speeds they were and spindles and all that stuff. But virtualization abstracted that and made that less important. And so for a while, virtualization was the layer that people focused on. What does my hypervisor bring to the table? What features does it give me versus the other hypervisors? Now we've graduated from that, where the assumption is that the hypervisors are all able to bring these same enterprise capabilities. So now we're yet another layer higher and removed from the hardware. And that's where I think things are going to go, that's going to continue to fuel our growth, is that we will be bringing features that run on top of the hypervisor that make it even easier. And that's what people are looking for, is to just say, hey, I don't care about any of that stuff. I want to focus on the application I need to deploy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's the place. When you were speaking, I wrote down in my notes here, fitness for a data center. It's almost like with a smartphone and your appliance, all of a sudden you have a Fitbit, a little machine you could carry around, a fitness device for finding out what your data center is doing and how efficient it is. And I think that's the move from virtualization from server virtualization to a software defined networks to different type of hypervisors to taking this concept of virtualization that was just a baby concept maybe 20 or 30 years ago and got involved in service centers 5 or 6 years ago. It's being applied into areas that I never dreamed of.
Yeah, it's really going anywhere that the applications that run on top of the virtual layer can take us. And that's pretty much everything, right? Everything can run on top of a hypervisor these days. And again, you know, we'll reach the point in a couple of years where in a well-designed data center, if you were walking the aisles of that data center, you should not be able to point at any particular device and know what it does, because the underlying hardware should be pure commodity. It should just be a bunch of horsepower that's sitting there doing something. But the hardware no longer identifies what it does. You can't look at it and say, oh, that's my firewall, that's my SAN, that's my server. All of it is just pure commodity horsepower. It makes it easy to manage, but the software is what decides what that horsepower is doing. And that points back to that iPhone thing. You look at that iPhone, you could hold yours up and I could hold mine up. They both look alike, but mine is currently running as a GPS. Yours is currently email.
Sounds like good advice. We'd have to end the interview here, but maybe come back another year and find out more and more success with applying virtualization in new areas. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guests today, Dave Gwynn, Vice President Federal, and Chris Howard, Vice President Federal at Nutanix. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.